The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Now it's time to think and discern. This is Bob Burney Live.
Welcome again to Bob Burney Live. This is the 4 o'clock hour on a Tuesday afternoon. And my telephone number remains the same. 877-BOB-LIVE, 877-262-5483. Again, 877-BOB-LIVE, 877-262-5483. In the final analysis, I think we are all going to be unbelievably shocked at the damage done in every area of our society by this COVID-19 virus. The number of people sick, the number of people who have died, it's tragic. Now, I have tried to be a voice of reason, a voice of balance, a voice of hope in the midst of this, but I have constantly said, this is a deadly virus. It shouldn't be taken lightly. I think much of the news media has done their best to keep us frightened in almost a state of panic and hysteria. I think that's wrong. I think the numbers from the Ohio Department of Health, the CDC, have been misconstrued, misinterpreted, and the most important numbers have been almost completely ignored, while the least important numbers have been emphasized. But there is also the emotional toll. I have a story farther on down in my stack. I don't know whether I'll get to it or not. But the rise of what is called, in the medical community, broken heart syndrome. That is actually a medical term. Now, it's not the official medical term. It's something cardiac, something, something, something. But the nickname for it in the medical community is the broken heart syndrome. It is on the rise. Depression is on the rise. And I don't know that there is any way of knowing how many people have taken their lives because of the depression brought about by the COVID-19 thing. And I'm not sure there's any way to quantify that, but it's significant. There's the economic aspect of the COVID-19. What I'm saying is there are many, 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 many other things to consider other than how many new cases, how many people are in the hospital, how many people. There are many, many other things to consider. And I think that many, I'm not saying most, but many government and health authorities have focused almost exclusively on the health aspect and not on the other important things. But here's one other. The impact on the church. If you listen to this program, if you've ever listened to the opening of this program, every single day at 3:35 or 3:36, when we actually begin the program, you'll hear me say in the opening that the hope of America is not Washington, D.C., not in the White House, but in the pulpits of America, the churches, and I believe that with all my heart. What happens in America's churches is far more important than what happens in Washington, D.C. It's more important than the next election. The whole answer to this racial reconciliation thing is not necessarily new laws, although there may be new laws that need to be passed in this jurisdiction or that jurisdiction, this city or whatever. I don't doubt that for a minute. But the real answer is not in legislation. It's in the hearts of individuals. And that goes back to the church. That's why this article is so troubling to me. When the lockdown started, most churches, and I mean most, started streaming their Sunday morning services. Churches that had never even dreamed of live streaming on Facebook or YouTube or whatever, scurried around, did whatever they needed to do, and they started streaming. Tiny little country churches of 30 people began streaming their Sunday morning service. The pastor would come and stand in front of an empty auditorium behind a pulpit or sitting or whatever, preach the message and so forth. All right. The first 2 or 3 weeks, the numbers were through the roof. The numbers were astronomical. They just were. And many people were saying, it, me included, if you were listening to me back in those days when all this began, there are more people attending church than ever before. And that was true then, but it is not true now. And that's why I believe churches should open as soon as they possibly can, safely. And I'll add that, safely. The folks at Barna just released their latest research, and it is not encouraging at all. Headline, 1/3 of practicing Christians. Now, how do they define practicing Christians? Christians that before the virus were regularly attending church. In other words, they were practicing their faith. These are not the Christmas and Easter Christians. These were the people who were actively involved in their church. All right? 1/3 of practicing Christians have not been attending online church during the pandemic. 1/3 have stopped for whatever reason. At first, I think everybody who attended church, you know, sat around their computer or whatever and listened online. Not anymore. And when it gets into the different age groups, half of practicing Christian millennials, half of millennials said they had not attended church at all online or in any other way in the past 4 weeks. The Gen X, 35% said they had not. And the baby boomers, the older folks, 26% of them said, I'm tired of this. Wow. This is what the news media is not reporting. And it's having an impact on individuals and their view of life and the pandemic. Listen to this, and let me just quote it. Respondents who have stopped attending church during COVID-19 are less likely than their peers who are still attending church during the pandemic. And again, by attending either drive-in, online, or in-person, respondents who have stopped attending church are less likely than their peers who are still attending church during the pandemic to agree with the statement, I am not anxious about my life as I have an inner peace from God. And I'm running out of time, but here's the takeaway. The people who are attending church, and again, that's online, drive-in, in-person, those who are actually attending church on a weekly basis, even in the midst of this whole COVID-19 thing, are far more likely to say, I am not anxious about my life as I have an inner peace from God. the less likely people are to attend church, the less likely they are to say, I have peace. I have peace. All right, now let's get personal. Are you involved in your church? I realize many of you, your church is not meeting inside, but they're probably streaming. Most churches are. Are you involved? Are you listening? Are you watching? If possible, are you attending? Are you going to the drive-in service? Are you listening online? Are you going to one of the in-person inside services with all of the rules and regulations and so forth? This is why Scripture says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. God has designed us for fellowship with other people. It's essential. And that's why we need to pray. As we pray about the COVID-19 and the economy and so forth, we need to pray that this thing be lifted so our churches can open once again and people can be fed and people can fellowship. But much, if not most, of the responsibility is yours. Yeah, it gets tiresome listening online. It's not the same. I know that. But do whatever you need to do to have fellowship with other people and to be fed from God's word. Be fed from God's word. You need it. I need it. We need it. Don't be one of these statistics.
Talk radio that makes a difference. Makes a difference. This is Bob Burney Live.
I've been wondering how Rush Limbaugh has been doing. And he has given an update. And he's doing much, much better than could be expected. As most of you know, he was diagnosed back on January 22nd with advanced lung cancer. That is not a good diagnosis whatsoever. And if you follow Rush Limbaugh's program, he's been on the air, off the air, on the air, off the air. He has been going through a lot of different treatments, and I haven't seen an update for quite some time, but here is one today. He posted, there are good days, good weeks, there are bad days and bad weeks. This past period, this past treatment, which was a week ago tomorrow, this has been much better than I thought. Because of the cumulative effect of the toxicity, I was expecting to be, you know, in that just debilitating fatigue for 10 days, and I wasn't. It lasted 2 days, Thursday and Friday. This weekend was good, but again, anything can change rapidly and on a dime, so it is a blessing. And then he added, I believe prayer works. I know it does. And he asked his listeners and supporters to continue praying for me. 69, and that serious of lung cancer usually takes a person pretty quick. Joy and I had a very dear friend, this has been several years ago, checked into Riverside Hospital for phlebitis, you know, blood clots in the leg. She had that, oh, every couple of years it would pop up. She'd go into the hospital that put her on blood thinners, and she'd be there a couple of days, and she was out, and she was fine. She was very healthy, et cetera. While she was there being treated for phlebitis, again, which was she had been treated many times, the doctor came in. She says, hey, doc, I got this pain in my back, and yeah, I don't know, maybe you should check it. 4 days later, to the day, she was gone. I mean, not 4 days, 4 weeks, pardon me. 4 weeks later, they did a biopsy, found out that she had lung cancer, and 4 weeks to the day later, she was gone. So Rush Limbaugh is very fortunate that God has spared him this long. Then he gave a long baseball analogy. He said, it was a blessing that in my third at-bat, the last shot that I had at this, because he was told, this last treatment is your last hope. If this doesn't work, there is no hope. So he said, it was a blessing that in my third at-bat, the last shot that I had at this, I got on base, I stole second. I'm checking on to third, and I'm very confident that I'm going to score. In fact, I'm very confident that this is going to go into extra innings. Well, you know what that means. I'm trying to avoid being specific in the lingo here. And again, that's simply because of how rapidly things can change with this kind of diagnosis. He says, I'm feeling extremely good right now, even cautious about saying that. Who knows what's tomorrow's going to bring? I could be even more optimistic if I wanted to, because there is reason to be. But again, when every phase and stage happens, that's an improvement. It'll be sure, I'll be sure and pass it on. I have no idea about Rush Limbaugh's spiritual state. If he does not know Christ as Savior, I pray that through this, he will become born again. His brother, that I've interviewed on several occasions, there is no doubt about his salvation. His brother is a great guy, has written some phenomenal books. Rush Limbaugh's not really an author, but his brother is. And there is no doubt that his brother is a born-again believer and is very, very vocal about that. So I am praying, and I would assume, and they're pretty close, Rush and his brother, I would assume that during this time, Rush's brother has been sharing the gospel with him. And even people who were resistant to the gospel often become much softer when they are facing eternity. So pray for Rush Limbaugh's physical condition, obviously. Right now, he is optimistic, and evidently his doctors are. But I think his spirit, his spiritual condition is far more important. Pray that if he is not saved, that he would before it's too late. Whether you love him or whether you hate him, pray for him. Talk radio. Most of talk radio has rested on the shoulders of Rush Limbaugh for a long time. Whether it's conservative or even liberal, modern talk radio rests on the shoulders of Rush Limbaugh. He certainly has been the premier pioneer. All right, quick break. We'll be back.